Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
You are listening to From Here to There Radio, demystifying the journey with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Do you feel stuck moving forward? Are you ready for a life you love? Diane is dedicated to helping you be in alignment with your purpose. If you are ready for creating positive change in your life, here is your host of From Here to There Radio, Diane Garris.
Hi, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to From Here to There Radio, Demystifying the Journey on Transformation Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Diane Garris. The brief song intro you just heard is the song Mystics 9 from my latest CD, Mystics 9. Available wherever music is streamed or sold. You can get to know me and my body of work a little better by visiting my websites, DianeGarris.com, DianeGarrisMusic.com, FreeAngelCardReadings.com, and my new labor of love with singer-songwriter Margot Joy, spameditations.com. That's a lot of websites, I know, right? But in my world, they aren't separate in everything, my entire body of work. It all works together, it's designed to work together, and I function as a whole person, a multidimensional person, because that's who we are. And it's not that I'm so different or special or so greatly enlightened. You can function this way too. We're supposed to live as a whole person. Now, that all said, I'd like to address some things along these lines that we can demystify in order to help you move forward on your path and help you be able to live your whole self. And then later on in the New Age Notes segment of the show, we have a special guest. Super excited about this, famous musician Jim McCarty of the Yardbirds. Very exciting. So, let's dive right into our topic here. We all come in here with certain gifts and talents. We all come in with certain lessons to learn, things to do. And we don't have to do any of those. We don't have to do anything. And we don't have to use any of our gifts and talents if we don't want to, because we have free will, which is one of our greatest gifts, actually. But we all have a driving force inside us, our spirit. Our spirit already knows what it wants to do and knows what it wants to learn and be and knows exactly what we came here to do. So this driving force, some people call it our passion, but that isn't the whole thing. There's so much more to it than that. I call it alignment. So aligning with your spirit, aligning with your life's purpose, alignment. And then after alignment comes the integration. So I want to give you a few words about passion, because you see, passion, the way we were taught, is that passion, you follow your passion and the success follows. But passion does not necessarily equal success. For example, I may have a real, real passion for singing or maybe even playing the guitar, but I don't have a natural gift for either of those, even though I'm a musician. So I can say, well, hey, I have a real passion for that. And if I apply myself, then I'm going to make it as a singer. Well, so I can take 100 singing lessons, but I still won't be able to sing a song really well, regardless of how much passion I have for it. So, like I said, I can apply myself, I can take lessons, I can practice, I can devote myself as fully as I choose. But the reality is I'm never going to be singing an opera. That's just true. And I'm not ever going to be able to play the guitar like Eric Clapton, really. So it's just not going to happen, because it's not what I came to do. I don't have any natural gifts in those departments. Remember that. It's really important. So I'm a musician. I'm a pianist. I'm a violinist. But I'm not a singer. and I'm not a guitarist, really. So you see, for me, this kind of direction is out of alignment, even though it might look like it could be a good fit. So I talk with a lot of people that don't understand the concepts of alignment and integration. But it's really easy. We can get disconnected early on from ourselves and what we came to do here. That happens because we're trying to fit in with our tribe and our family and what they're doing, and in particular, what they think we ought to be doing with ourselves. That's important. And then we spend the rest of our lifetimes trying to reconnect with ourselves to find our alignment. So a couple of things here. If you're struggling with your life's purpose or what you came to do or what's in alignment, the first thing you need to do is go back in your life and identify your natural gifts and talents. What do you like to do? What can you spend hours doing where it only feels like a few minutes? What can you get totally lost in? Because that is the space where you find yourself. And don't for 1 minute think that you can't make a living from your natural gifts and talents. You can, regardless of what you might have been taught. You definitely can and should. So go back and examine as a first step, not just what you like to do, but what are my natural gifts and talents? And so what Joan of Angels was talking about on our previous show, and what Jim McCarty and I are going to touch on later in this show, is it's important as well as identifying your natural gifts and talents to listen to your inner voice, your intuition, your innate connection to spirit that we all have. Listen to that voice. And then be willing to do whatever it is. Go in the direction of where you're being pointed, because this starts bringing you into alignment. And also, what Michelle Van de Pas was saying on the previous show about manifesting, you don't have to overwhelm yourself by trying to outthink yourself or take huge leaps where you can get stuck in overwhelming fear. Just take little baby steps. Baby steps. All right, so see, the one thing about directions from our intuition, our guides, and our angels is that directions are always given in order. You might not know that or realize it, but it's so true. They're always given step by step, like a recipe. So first you decide what you want to make and get a vision of that finished product. And then simply gather your ingredients first. Then follow the directions. You don't have to take everything that's in your refrigerator and dump it into one big pot and hope for the best. That could be really messy. So remember, it's all about steps, step by step by step. Now you may say, I can't hear any voices, Diane. I don't know how to connect with my intuition. Or I don't know what I'm supposed to make, so how can I gather anything? Look, intuition is innate. We all have it. We weren't just dropped off here on the planet with no way to phone home. So if you spend a few minutes connecting with yourself, you're going to know what to make. You're going to know what to do. All you need to do first to connect with your higher intuition is to quiet the mind chatter. You aren't going to hear anything from across a crowded room, but clear everything out, you're going to be able to hear and receive your guidance. So what you first need to do, quiet your mind chatter, get away from the electronics. Those interfere way more with your natural intuition than you may even realize. Turn everything off for a few minutes. Shut off the worries. Focus on your breathing. Get in the meditation. Go into nature. Quiet it all down. Even if it's only 5 or 10 minutes a day, or 5 or 10 minutes a week, you're going to start hearing and feeling your natural intuition. On that note, I do want to mention that I offer intuition training. And that's 3 one-on-one sessions with me. It's not cost prohibitive at all. And that will help jumpstart your own inner connections. You can just find that on my website at dianegarris.com/intuition. All right, so one of the places that I find people really get stuck and disconnected from their inner guidance is in the need to try to control things, trying to control outcomes, trying to find out about outcomes. If you're attached to outcome, you can also have a lot of trouble really tuning into your natural intuition. But you see, once you let go of your attachment to outcome and once you're truly connected to your guidance, you start developing a sense of trust. And through learning to trust that trust, you start leading yourself out of the need to control everything or anything. You start learning to go with the flow of your life and your life plan. It's not hard, but you have to first be willing to do it. So the control really is an illusion. We tell ourselves something like this: if we have control, we're safe, okay? But the truth is, we're safe no matter what. We may just have the idea that we aren't safe if we're the passenger, but that's an illusion. Passenger or pilot, we are safe. It doesn't mean that anything bad is never going to happen. It just means we're safe no matter what transpires. All is always, always in divine order. Always. Even in our grief, even in when someone does something bad to us. So our perspective may tell us a whole different story, though. It's another place where people get stuck in the way they look at a situation, the way they perceive a situation, the way they position themselves inside a situation. That's a really important statement. I'm going to say it again. It's the way you position yourself inside a situation. So try to see what role you're willing to play in any situation, because that is something you can change instantaneously. And so you can change any situation, anything, by simply changing the way you perceive it. It's a huge part of what we're doing here as a collective, by the way. We're being asked always to transform energy, transform the lower into the higher, see the bigger picture in anything. And in everything, in fact, you have the power to change your whole entire life just by that, doing that one simple thing. Look at the bigger picture. I hope you found this helpful. I really do, because those are some easy things you can implement right now to start moving forward. All right, so some takeaways from today's show. So first of all, go back and examine your natural gifts and talents, and then most importantly, examine why you don't use those to make your living. Really look at that. Because sometimes when we have a natural gift, we don't really see it as a viable way to make a living. But that's one of the reasons why these are given to us. So have a look. And then number two, when you're trying to move forward, let go of control and try to see the plan of your life and just go with the flow. This doesn't mean float around aimlessly. It means don't force energy. Go with the flow. And number three is about perspective. Unstick yourself from any situation by looking at your pattern. Look at the role that you're willing to play in any drama. And then you can say to yourself, I'm either willing or I'm unwilling to play this part anymore. And that will unstick you. And now it's time for us to move forward on to our New Age Notes segment of our program. We'll be right back after a short break to talk with Jim McCarty of the Yardbirds.
Believe you are meant to live with more joy, but you're just not sure how to get it? What does the phrase, give me the joy, make you feel? Join me, Lynn Horde, every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, on the Give Me the Joy Show, as I take you on a journey to peel back the layers so you can take back your joy. To find out more about my work as the Joy Coach, including my popular programs, Joy School and Joy at Work, visit lynnhorde.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
Tap into the wisdom of animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso on Animal Soul Wisdom Radio. Tune in monthly as Darcy brings insights on how to better understand and deepen our relationships with animals. Working with light and pureness of ancient techniques, Darcy, healer, animal communicator, and medium, is here to guide you through this process and provide inspiration to move forward. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
A space of allowing radio with Coach Nancy Coco, welcoming all that wants to be present today. Tune in Thursdays every first and third week at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Coach Nancy helps you find a space of allowing. Join Coach Nancy to explore what lives at your edges and to bring more of yourself home. For more information, visit NancyCocoCoaching.com.
We're back for the New Age Notes portion of the show. Thank you for tuning in to Transformation Talk Radio. Again, I'm your host, Diane Garris, and you're listening to From Here to There Radio, Demystifying the Journey. We have a very, very special guest for this portion of the show, and I'm really excited to welcome musician Jim McCarty. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for coming on. So, for those that do not know, Jim is the famous drummer from the Yardbirds, which was one of the most important rock bands of the 60s. And Jim, he's respected worldwide for his innovative drumming style, which he introduced into the music of the 60s. So Jim has a new album out, and it's called Walking in the Wild Land, which we're going to discuss in a few minutes along with some other things. But for those who aren't familiar, the Yardbirds had hits such as For Your Love, Heart Full of Soul, Over Under, Sideways Down, and all of those were UK top 10 hits. And the band included some legends like Eric Clapton, Robert Plant, Jeff Beck too, Jim, right? Jeff Beck as well?
Yeah, Jeff Beck, yeah. Jimmy Page rather than Robert Plant, because Jimmy and Robert were in Zeppelin, but Jimmy Page was with us.
Jimmy Page, okay. All right, so in this segment of the show, we're going to kind of switch things up just a little bit and first find out how Jim went from there to here instead of from here to there. So again, welcome, Jim. And tell us first up, Jim, what is a Yardbird?
Well, a Yardbird, I believe, according to the folklore, was like a tramp or a hobo that hitched a lift on old steam trains and lived in the rail yards and traveled across America on in the cabins of the old steam trains.
That's so interesting. Who came up with that name?
Well, it was thought up by the singer Keith Relf. He had a whole list of names, and Yardbird was one of them. And I think he got it from one of the beat writers from California, Jack Kerouac or somebody, On the Road Again, maybe, that was the book. And that's where he found it.
Interesting. Well, it's been a name that it's now a legend, So it was a good name.
Well, it was a very strong name.
Yeah, very strong name. And so, because at that time, I think, weren't the Beatles just coming up to like that? So who was around at that time? The Beatles and
the Rolling Stones and the Who and the Pretty Things. And we actually took over from the Rolling Stones because they used to play every week in a club in Richmond called the Crawdaddy Club. And when they left the club, they'd had a few hits, and they went on big tours. They were looking for another band, and they got us in. We were very lucky, and that gave us our start.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. How did the Yardbirds first start? Because, for example, where did you meet Eric Clapton, and who started the band, and how did it start up?
Well, we were all from Southwest London. We were all like suburban kids, and we'd heard blues music coming in from the States, and we loved it, the black blues stuff, and we really enjoyed it, and we wanted to play that sort of music, and we all met up sort of in a pub, I think, in Surrey, in a place called Kingston, Surrey, which was right down by the Thames, about 20 miles out of the centre of London. Some of the guys went to the art school in Kingston, and myself and Paul Samuel Smith, who was the bass player, we went to a high school, or grammar school, so we called it, in Hampton, which was close by. And we all met up in the pub and decided we were going to start a band and play this R&B, we called it then, but it was actually like Chicago-type American black blues.
Interesting. So how did you know you wanted to be a drummer? Because on your new album, Walking in the Wild Land, and on some of your other albums, you're playing guitar and you're singing. So back then, did you just say, I have this real passion for drumming? Or how did you know that you were supposed to be a drummer?
Well, I always loved music, per se, all types of music. And but I had a feeling for drums very strongly. And when I was a teenager, I was in a thing called the Boys Brigade, which was like a semi-military organization. We'd have a marching band. And I used to play the snare drum and sort of march down the street in my uniform. That's how I got into it.
So interesting. So how do you describe your drumming style? Because, you know, you say here in your bio that it's an innovative drumming style. What is different about it? Or what was different about it at the time?
Well, I think once we got the group going, you know, we were always experimenting. We started off playing, you know, the regular blues, like some of the regular blues covers, and then we wanted to do our own thing, and we tried to make it a bit different and a bit more unusual. And so we were, you know, messing around with time signatures and speeding up, and you know, and the drumming, you know, doing different rhythms and making something different. And I think the Yardbirds were famous really for being, you know, quite an enterprising, unusual band. People still say that now. You know, we still actually play. We still go on the odd tour of America with a different lineup. But we play the old songs, and people still love it all. They love the stuff.
Yeah. So when did Eric Clapton come on, and who were the people in the original band and then who came on later? Because I noticed there were kind of a lot of comings and goings, and I think that's probably true in a lot of bands, right? But so who were the original Yardbirds?
Well, the originals were myself, Paul Samuel Smith, who was the bass player, Keith Ralph, the singer, Chris Dreyer, who was a rhythm guitarist. And then before Eric Clapton, there was a guy called Top Topham, who was also at the art school with the other guys. And he was the lead guitar player, first of all. And he was younger than the other members of the band. And he was a very good prospective artist. And his family wanted him to carry on studying art and, you know, forming a career in art. And they didn't really like him, you know, being in a band and staying up all night and, you know, playing 5 or 6 nights a week and neglecting his studies. So they really, as he was so young, they pressurized him to giving up the band. And unfortunately, you know, for him, he had to leave. And that's when we got Eric Clapton to take his place, because he was at the same, he was in the same school. Eric Clapton was young and enthusiastic and had a sort of certain quality about him, certain, you know, profile or whatever. He was very dedicated to becoming a famous blues guitarist.
And so he did. So when did Jimmy Page and come on, and Jeff Beck and all that, right around the same time as Eric Clapton came?
Well, Eric was with us for a while, and then we played a lot of very pretty standard blues covers, and we developed our sound. And then we were, at the time, looking for a hit record in London. A lot of our contemporary bands had hits, and we didn't want to get left behind. And we tried to record some of our material we were playing live, and it never really worked in the studios at the time in England. And so somebody saw us. We were actually playing with the Beatles in London at their Christmas show in 1964. And somebody saw us playing, and they had a demo disc of For Your Love, and got in touch with us and our management, and said they suggested For Your Love was a good song for us. And we all liked it except Eric, because it wasn't really a blues song. It was a pop song, but it had a sort of moodiness to it that we all liked. And he left.
Oh. Well, and then you went on to have this hit. Now, you mentioned management. So were things easier in those days to get a record deal? Or, I mean, because the music business has changed a great deal now, as you know. But was it super hard for you? I mean, you said you're playing with the Beatles. That's pretty big. And then, did somebody did your management get you a record deal? Or how hard was it to get this to happen?
It wasn't particularly for us, because we were a happening band. You know, we were playing in the where the Rolling Stones used to play, and we had a following getting bigger. In the end, actually, strangely enough, in those days, it was a toss-up between EMI Records or Decca Records. There were only two real main record companies back in those days. And EMI had the Beatles and Decca had the Rolling Stones. And in the end, we went on to EMI.
So interesting. Well, the times were so different than they are now. And you know, some people in our audience weren't even born then, you know, so they don't know. But, you know, was it really like just sex, drugs, and rock and roll like people hear about? Or what? I mean, what was it like so much?
Well, it was very full on. For us, we were a hit band. We were traveling around playing. We weren't particularly earning huge amounts of money royalty-wise. You know, we weren't, you know, selling millions of records in those days. And so we would be playing all the time, you know, playing shows all around the country, and eventually, you know, all through the States and in Europe and everywhere else in the world. And in between playing, we were expected to do photo shoots and do interviews and, you know, other personal appearances. And so it was quite full on. And then, you know, we probably go to a nightclub later on at night.
Perfect.
A space of allowing radio with Coach Nancy Coco, welcoming all that wants to be present today. Tune in Thursdays every first and third week at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Coach Nancy helps you find a space of allowing. Join Coach Nancy to explore what lives at your edges and to bring more of yourself home. For more information, visit NancyCocoCoaching.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
And we're back with our special guest, Jim McCarty of the Yardbirds.
We never got hugely into drugs, maybe some joints now and then. I did take a couple of acid trips, which I did regret because it gave me a huge problem afterwards. So I wouldn't really recommend taking LSD for anybody, really, because you never know how it's going to turn out.
So did you have flashbacks later on?
Well, I went into a depression for about 6 months to a year, which I found very difficult, and it was very difficult to work. And it sort of, in a way, that brought me into all the healing stuff that you're talking about in your shows and stuff, because I needed a lot of healing, and apart from the doctor giving you a whole load of sort of tranquilizers and whatever, eventually I went to somewhere called the White Eagle Lodge in London that dealt in spiritual healing, and you could have like contact healing through sort of color therapy, which did me a lot of good, and I eventually found myself doing it myself as a healer. So that's where this side of my work really started.
Well, that's what I really want to get into now. Let's talk about Jim. You live in France, and I'm just curious about this. Why France? Feel like you have a deep spiritual connection there, or
I don't know. There's something about it which I can't quite tap. I like the culture very much. It's a beautiful landscape. It's quiet. It's very kind. You know, the city's London. I lived in London, and it was very full on, and it changed a lot for, you know, in the last 30, 40 years. It lost a lot of its originality, a lot of its creativity, I think, and it's not for me what it used to be. And I'm very happy down here. I love the contact with nature, and that comes into the song Walking in the Wildland, which is on the latest CD. You know, the healing power of the nature, and you know, just getting a, like a tree bath, walking in a forest or walking in a wild place. I really love it, and I had to put that into music.
Yeah, well, isn't the album cover on Walking on the Wildland, isn't that, it's taken in France, right?
Yeah, that's very close to where I live, and that's somewhere where I like to go and hang out quite a lot, where that photo is.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. So you have a bad LSD trip, you go to the doctor, that does not work, so you go, you explore spiritual healing. I love the color therapy. So you start doing it yourself. Tell us about the whole healing journey, because, you know, you're doing it yourself, and then now, are you a practitioner?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was a real practitioner, but I used to go to the White Eagle Lodge, and I used to take part in the healing services. They had services, and I was one of the healers, and I used to sit in a group and send out absent healing to people. I wouldn't call myself a real healer, but I like to put the sentiments into the songs, into my own
songs.
That
comes through. Yeah,
I love to sing. I love to write interesting chord patterns and interesting melodies, and I love writing songs myself. And I think that comes through, yeah, as you said. And I've done, you know, I've done some channeling, which is interesting. I've been through some following a Buddhist Lama, and I've been to India and China and Sikkim, and I've done a lot of pilgrimages and things as well. So I've had an interesting journey.
You have had an interesting journey, and it was one of the questions I was kind of saving, but you can talk about it now, because I think in some ways it's kind of a charmed journey, right? Isn't that one of your songs, I'm Charmed?
Yes. You can see that on YouTube. It's just a way I feel about things. I really do feel that I'm quite lucky in life. And sometimes I've been in situations where I get a bit worried. Why am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right way here? And then something happens where to confirm I'm fine. And I wanted to put that into a song as well. I just feel like I am charmed. If I'm getting a bit worried about something, something happens to alleviate that, and something lucky happens to me. It's a nice feeling, and I'm very grateful to that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the connection. I mean, we all have it, but I think to tap into it consciously, so that you know you don't have the worry and the fear and all of that. So
yes.
It sounds like you're really connected with that. So people can connect with that through nature, though, too, right? I mean, you're out there walking in the wild land. So when we talk about the wild land, are you talking about the land, the forest? Define the wild land a little bit.
I'd say the wild land was that countryside way out of the city, that the forest or the mountains or the hills or the... You know, the quiet places where the nature's really abundant. And
we can feel ourselves again, right?
Yeah. And we can feel that connection. And I can go there with my wife, and we might be a bit tired or something. And we spend a few hours there, and we come back, we totally feel totally different.
Exactly. And so I wanted to get back to your lyrics, because your songwriting is really, really, really good. You've got some wonderful lyrics there, and obviously you're a professional. I mean, you've got some great structure. So you're welcome. I mean, you know, I have a real gift for it. Some people can play an instrument and not have that gift of lyricism, but you have it. So you helped write some of the songs when you were in the original Yardbirds, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was still involved. I was involved in some of those songs, Shapes of Things, Still I'm Sad, Over Under Sideways Down, Happenings 10 Years Time Ago. Yeah, I was part of the team, and I had little tunes, I had lyrics, and we worked differently then. We were a unit, and we all put our bit in.
Yeah. And, you know, like in today's world, that doesn't happen so much. it just doesn't, you know, anymore. But do you have a favorite lyric, some favorite lyrics from Walking in the Wild Land? Is there a favorite? Because I loved all the lyrics. But what's your favorite?
I like Walking in the Wild Land lyric. And I like So Many Questions.
People can hear it Walking in the Wild Land on YouTube, and just Google Jim McCarty, and it's not McCarthy, it's McCarty, McCarty, right, Jim?
Yeah, correct, yes.
Now, there's a guitarist of that same name, right? So not to be confused with that one.
Yeah, he's a very good player, actually. He's from he's American, and he's from Detroit. He was in a couple of famous Detroit bands. Mitch Ryder, he was with. Yeah, but sometimes we get mixed up. But I'm the drummer turned singer-songwriter.
Well, you're very, very good at it. You have a book as well, and I believe it's called Nobody Told Me. Nobody Told Me.
Yes. Yes.
I love that. I love that title. So. tell us a couple of things, just a few. We don't want to spoil the book, which people can get on Amazon, I believe. What are some things nobody told you?
Well, nobody told me what it was going to be like. Because before I got in a band, I used to work in the stockbrokers in London. I was in the city, and I used to work 9 to 5, you know, doing all calculations and maths and all that stuff. And then when the band got going, you know, we were doing that at the same time. So I used to go finish in the office and then get the train to where we were going to play somewhere around London or wherever. Then I'd have to change and then play the evening, you know, play with the Yardbirds for the evening, and then get up the next day and go to work again. And that was, it was quite a hard life. So in the end, I thought, oh, I'm never going to be able to do the two. So one day I went up to my boss and I said, well, you know, I'm in this band that's doing quite well at the moment and we're quite busy. But it's only going to last a couple of years. So when it all finishes, can I have my job back? And he said, yeah, of course, you know, because I thought it was going to last a couple of years, and it's still going now, like 50 years later.
That's amazing. Well, music lasts, and good music lasts forever. So so now, you still tour. Tell us where people can find out all about, you know, what is your website? Where can people find your albums? Not just the new one, Walking in the Wildland, but you have two other solo ones, and then you have a bunch more. So tell us all about that, where everybody can find out about all of your doings.
Well, you could go direct to my website, which is www.jimmccarty.co.uk. And if you want to find out where the Yardbirds are playing, that'll be www.theyardbirds.com. Or there's www.yardbirds.us, which is a US site as well. There's those three, which will give you plenty of info of what's going on. But for my own stuff, I would go to my one, jimmccarty.co.uk.
Okay, thank you. And then is that the best place to get your album, from your website?
Well, the record is available on Amazon, or you can go to direct to the record company, which is called Angel Air. So I think that's angelair.co.uk.
Angel Air, I've heard of that. So, Jim, what's your best life advice for people who are trying to be who they came to be? I mean, so for you, like, I know I want to be a musician. You started with the drums, you pick up the guitar somewhere along the way, and then, of course, the innate gift of songwriting. But how can people get from, you know, where they are now to where they want to be? What's your best life advice for people now coming up in life? How should they get any place?
I would say go for it, whatever. If you have a feeling towards something, I would go for it and be positive about it and don't give up on it and don't let anyone put you off. If you've got that deep feeling inside of you, that don't let someone talk you out of it. If you want to play music in a band, then you need to meet the right people that you're going to work with. You need the right team like we had. And just put out for it. Just ask the universe for help and put out for the right people and put out for the right openings for yourself. And always think positive about it. Don't lose heart.
I love that. Thank you. I think that's really helpful for people who are, you know, kind of not knowing how to take the next steps. Jim, if there's anything else you'd like to add that we didn't cover, let me know now.
Okay. I think we've more or less covered it. The new CD is Walking in the Wildland on Angel Air, which you can get on Amazon, of course. And also the book, which is, you know, some of the things I've been talking about are all in the book. Nobody Told Me, which is, it's actually published by Lulu.com. So you can get it through Lulu, or you can also get that on Amazon. And all my information is on www.jimmccarty.co.uk.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Jim, for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me on. Cheers. Bye.
And we'll be right back after a short break to wrap it all up and discuss some of these things. Stay with us.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
Welcome back. All right, so let's put this all together. First of all, I want to say how inspiring I find Jim McCarty. I don't know if you know, but he's 75 years old, still on tour, can you believe? And doing what he came to do, which is making music and bringing some healing vibes to the planet through his gifts and talents. So I've talked to a lot of people through my readings, and what I'm finding is a lot of younger people, say maybe in their 30s, are articulating how old they feel. So I think we can all take a note from Jim here. No matter what our journey looks like, or how long or how short of a time we're here, we can have a wonderful time. We can and we should do what we came to do. And we can have all the energy we need. There's actually an abundance of energy in the universal energy field. So doing what we came to do and using our own unique gifts and talents is what is going to bring us joy. And that's how we make a difference here. We aren't here to be miserable. Now, one of the things I want to point out is that everyone's journey is different. Some journeys may look charmed in comparison to others. Some may look very easy and some may look and feel very challenging. So what's this about? Let's delve into this. Is it just that some people have better karma than others? Is it some people are luckier than others? That's not really what it's about. Let's shed some light on this. While we're sitting up in the holding chamber, before we incarnate here, we formulate a plan. We formulate a life plan. We decide what soul lessons we want to learn and incorporate. And we decide who we want to do those with. And if you don't want to see them as lessons, that's okay. Look at them as soul contracts. That's a whole other show. But the point is that each one of us came in here for a purpose. We came in with a set of things we want to do and accomplish. And that purpose can be quite different than what anyone else came here to do. So it's really pointless to compare yourself and your own journey to anyone else's, because we don't really know what someone else signed up for. So it may look good to us sitting over there, but use that energy instead to delve into what you're doing here. Some souls, for example, came in as the ambassadors of their soul group, the healers of their soul group. And those people tend to feel like they don't fit, like maybe something's wrong, like they don't belong anywhere, like they aren't doing what the rest of their tribe is doing. Do you know anyone like that? Maybe you feel that way, right? So what's this about? What happened here? What happened in a situation like this is that the soul said, I have enough love for everyone. I can help heal the fabric of my soul group. I'm willing to do it. I can do it. And so we may find that these people with that particular mission don't really have the easiest journey here, as opposed to, say, someone who said, yeah, I just want to learn some root chakra lessons. Give me the fun part. But whatever you're here to do, it's important to not focus or get hung up on the how of things, like how you're going to get from A to Z, because trying to see it that way can be really overwhelming and immobilizing even. So instead of looking at it like, you know, you have to go from A to Z, try to see how you go from A to B. Just A to B. Little steps, like we talked about in the beginning. And then let it unfold. But be willing to let things unfold. So take steps toward your goals and let go of the how, because that blank space in between is the space of miracles. Trust that you're going to get to where you're supposed to be whenever you're supposed to get there, and have exactly the experiences that support you on your journey. Now, I wanted to tell you a little story about natural gifts and talents because it's germane to what we're talking about. I once knew this guy, and he was having some serious financial issues, and he couldn't seem to find his way out. So he had lost his job. He was really struggling, and he was trying to find another job in his field, which, interestingly, was in the financial realm. So in the course of us talking about his struggles, I asked him about his natural gifts and talents. What could he do right now to bring in some cash? I always look at it like, you know, what do we have in our refrigerator of life that we can make something viable out of? Because we usually all have at least a few ingredients in our refrigerators, right? But maybe they've been there so long, you know, in the side door there, that we don't even see them anymore. That can definitely happen. Anyway, he mentioned that he makes these handcrafted flower boxes and planters. And he sent me a few pictures, and, well, they are gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful. And he had made some for friends, and he subsequently then had several people that wanted him to make some for them. He had a real gift for making these. Like I said, just beautiful, really beautiful. And it's the kind of thing you see in a catalog, and it's super expensive, right? It's just amazingly beautiful. All right. So I asked him why he didn't focus on making those and maybe try to make a small business out of it. And, you know, there was this complete silence. Silence. He seemed completely stunned by this, like it had never even occurred to him. And then he said to me, "I can't." And I had my moment of silence because I found that completely stunning. Because to me, the answer was right there, staring him in the face. But he didn't see it. So what happened here? You see, we can get so entrenched in the struggle, a pattern of struggle, or a deeply seated underlying belief system of struggle, or a point of view that this is the only way for me to make a living, or this is what I'm supposed to do and not that. So if we're stuck there, we can completely and totally miss the boat. And in this case, I felt like even if a flower box fell down as a sign from above and landed right in front of him on the path, he still wouldn't have connected the dots. He just wasn't seeing it. So when we talked a little in the beginning of the show about functioning as a whole person, like a whole multifaceted, multidimensional person, and we talked a little about alignment, this is exactly how you start the process. There isn't one natural gift that you came in here with that was given to you for no reason at all. There's always a reason. You just have to be willing to find out what that reason is, first of all, and then choose how you want to use that gift or talent to fulfill your soul purpose, to come into alignment. You don't have to do anything with it, like the guy in our story here. But it isn't hard, as I said in the beginning. Okay, so be willing to find out what you came here to do and look at your gifts and talents. You see, not hard. All right. Sometimes our journey here is a straight line, and sometimes it's just not. And then when necessary, especially if you've come to what appears to be an obstacle or a roadblock or a challenge, try to see it from a different perspective and then allow yourself to be directed or redirected. That's all an obstacle is, really. It's a universal redirection. And things may turn out a lot better than you could even imagine. And also, don't attach to outcomes. Don't attach to your point of view. And most of all, don't ever say, "I can't." Don't say that. You can. All right, that's really all I've got for now, and I hope you found this show helpful and inspiring to you on your healing journey. If you'd like a reading with me, you can schedule that directly on my website, dianegarris.com. Diane is with a Y, D-Y-A-N. And then I have a calendar there, online calendar. Choose your date, takes you through the payment, and then I'll confirm your appointment and we'll have our reading. If you'd like to find out more about manifesting, I have two award-winning best-selling books on the subject, Money and Manifesting and Money and Manifesting 2. I should tell you what's different about these books, actually, because they are different. The way they're written, there's a fictional story wrapped around information, and then each character in the story represents a pattern that blocks us. We can see ourselves reflected in someone else. We then have a platform for positive change. And then Money and Manifesting 2 continues on the story with the same characters, because I had a lot of people say to me, what happened to them? So I wrote Money and Manifesting 2, but that focuses more on root chakra issues specifically. So money and tribe and family and so on. You can get either of those manifesting books from my website or you can get them on Amazon. And here's a case in point about these two books. When Spirit asked me to write these books, I said to myself, okay, I've never written any fictional characters. You know, I'm a nonfiction writer. And so I said, I don't even know how to write characters. I didn't say I can't. I said, I don't know how. And so I sat down and was willing to just follow the directions. Here's character one, and this is what that person represents. And I didn't know how they were going to interact. And I didn't know specifically how it was supposed to wrap all around the information. But I was willing to do it, and I did it. If you'd like to know more about my award-winning music, I have 13 albums available wherever music is streamed or downloaded. And you can also still get a physical CD. If you'd like to engage in a nice, relaxing escape, try one of our spa meditation videos, which you can find on spameditations.com. And these are different too. These are little 4 to 5 minute meditative journeys, all very relaxing and uplifting to your spirit. That's all I've got. Thank you for tuning in. And I will see you next time. And for now, I'm over and out.
Thank you for listening to From Here to There Radio, Demystifying the Journey, with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Diane is dedicated to helping you be in alignment with your purpose by implementing real-life strategies for getting unstuck and moving forward. For more information on this show, or to work with Diane, visit dianegarris.com. That's DianeGarris.com.